The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube, TV, however you're taking us in this morning. We appreciate it. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine, so much more than a producer. You okay over there?
Yeah, man.
You're right.
Doing great.
All right. Just a health check.
Just a health check. Okay. I was just looking up Jake's play. Kings Islanders under six tonight.
You playing it or are you just doing it for the news?
Just getting it ready for the picks page, you know.
Brian M. All those years of unbiased political betting leans on the show, Gil, at election time, yet there have only been progressive guests calling in, but no moderate or conservative. I see what you did there. Courtesy of the progressive guest line, everybody. It's Jim Root from Three Man Weave, James Patrick Root. Jimmy, how you doing, man?
I'm great. It's good to be on with you, Gil, here Monday morning, championship week. It's going to be a lot of mayhem coming up. So
Oh, yeah. It's
good to maybe get some thoughts out there before it just everything hits the fan. No,
we're going to get thoughts. First of all, let me just congratulate you on your new role as an industry watchdog, having figured out that that Temple line was something was amiss, perhaps. Well done, sir. You were all over it.
Yeah, thank you. Got lucky to have a decent segment that day to talk about it and get something out there and sound smart for once.
Yeah. Now, did that produce any angle on Temple yesterday for you? Were you of the crowd that was like, well, clearly something is amiss, so we must bet against Temple? Or were you of the crowd that was like, if Temple wants to stay out of jail, they're going to have themselves a game today? Which did you fall on, or did you just stay away entirely?
I did not bet it, but I would have sided on the second side. Yeah. Of a lot of their power ranking is based in games where maybe they didn't try and they kind of have to in this one.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would have been on the side of the Owls.
Okay.
I heard that going around too yesterday. I don't get the first argument. Like, the second argument makes sense, right? Like, if you maybe got caught, then you're going to try a lot harder this game.
Who knows?
The first one, I don't get it all.
They end up beating UTSA, by the way, 84-82, and it would turn out to be a pretty thrilling game. All right, Jim, let's start with the macro. Prisoner of the moment or not, this feels like, and certainly we went through our formula earlier, and by that it really convinces us of this, but I'm curious your thoughts. Feels like one of the more wide open tournaments in terms of figuring out an eventual champion than most you remember, if not all.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the odds sort of reflect that. Nobody shorter than 5-1. We were talking before we got on air here. I remember Gonzaga was like +150 entering the tournament back in 2021. I think last year, Alabama and Houston had really ascended up the odds board. This year, yeah, I think the books are telling us they're not sure. And everybody analyzing, it's fairly uncertain too. UConn is probably the team that I feel most comfortable with in terms of, I can't pick a matchup that's really bad for them. But like, Houston's got some flaws. They've got injuries on the bench. Purdue still has a little bit of warts in terms of ball pressure and handling that. Braden Smith rolled an ankle but returned over the weekend, so something to monitor there for Purdue. And just kind of down the line, I think you can pick out some weaknesses with all the top teams, and it makes it, you know, exciting and potentially a bracket-burning type of March, because who knows what's going to happen. But yeah, I think it is super open at the top, and even the best team, UConn, isn't blowing people away all the time.
Give me one long shot that you could say, and I'm not saying, I'm not going to hold you to them winning at all, but that you could see, obviously we don't know the bracket yet, but has the goods to make a deeper run than most would expect.
Boy, it feels weird to say this, but Gonzaga, is that a long enough shot based on, I added them to my portfolio about a little over a week ago before they beat St. Mary's in San Francisco on the road. And they were 120-1 then. And now you can, I think, find there's been like 15 or 20 to get to the final four. It just feels like they're peaking at the right time. The tournament setting is okay for them because you've got days between games and they only have two guards. Like, Hickman and Nembhard are going to play all 40 minutes in every tournament game. But that lack of depth isn't as pointed in the tournament. You got all those long TV breaks. That certainly helps as well. And they've kind of shot up the seeding board too, the S curve. You know, they were like, are they a bubble team? And then they won those two games and their resume improved to the point that I think they're like a 6 or 7 seed right now. If they win the WCC tournament, they're in the ballpark for a 5, and their predictive measures have always been strong, the top 20 team in that department all year. So the fact that they're, you know, hitting their stride and actually an underdog and not the hunted one seed as they are in typical years, I think Gonzaga is actually a worthy pick in that department.
Yeah, and matter of fact, I asked Kai McKeon, your cohort over there at Three Man Weave, along with Matty Cox, but I asked him last week, give me the team that you have that you believe has the widest variance of outcomes coming up in the tournament, and he said Gonzaga, right? Like, he could see it an early exit, or he could see him going deep. I was just talking to Dave Check, who's doing a documentary on Gonzaga. They're obviously in the West Coast semis today, Gonzaga here at the Orleans, and he was talking about there was a moment this season, I want to say it was the San Diego State game where they lost, where like Mark Few was like, I don't even know if we're making the tournament this year. Like, there was definitely a nadir at one point, right, where it was like super low, and here they are being Gonzaga all over again. All right, let's do this chronologically. I want to talk about today's games, then we'll get into conference tournament odds. Today, 14 games, talked about it, West Coast conference semis, summit semis, Big Sky feeding the semis, Coastal semis, Southland second round, and of course a couple championships in the Southern and the Sun Belt. Do you like anything today?
I think my favorite bets are on a couple of dogs right in the same price range. Santa Clara against St. Mary's out there in Vegas. I think 10 is too many for them. They only lost by 5 at St. Mary's last time out. They've got a lot of size to compete with one of the best rebounding teams in the country. They actually won the glass battle in that game at St. Mary's. And the Gales just aren't quite the same team without Josh Jefferson. Their four-man that is out for the season with a knee injury gives them some athleticism and playmaking and shooting at that spot. Their replacements haven't been able to fill that void. So at Santa Clara, you know, they beat Gonzaga at home and then got shelled by St. Mary's the game after that. I think that was a bad spot, and I'm not going to blame them for that. I think getting double-digit points is too many. And adding the fact that Randy Bennett is not a great tournament coach against the spread. He's like a 40% guy against the spread historically in conference tournaments. I'm comfortable with taking the points there at Santa Clara, and I think they can compete and keep that one close. The other one I like is a tournament final, the SoCon. I think 10 is too many for East Tennessee State as well. You know, Samford has a ton of depth, which helps in this kind of back-to-back stuff. And I know East Tennessee State went to overtime yesterday, but these tournament games tend to slow down, especially in the title game. I don't think this gets up and down the way Samford typically likes it to. And they haven't been super convincing. You know, they had a nice second half yesterday against Furman, but that was against the team also off of overtime and wasn't the most convincing performance. So East Tennessee State's team is playing really, really well right now. They've got some size at guard and can somewhat handle the pressure of Samford. So yeah, I think both those games, 10 is a little too many points for the underdog.
All right, Santa Clara getting 10 in the West Coast semi against St. Mary's today, and then in Asheville, North Carolina, East Tennessee State getting the same amount of points in the Southern Championship against Samford. Let's talk about the tournaments that the odds are out now for all these conference tournaments. Let's talk about the ones that begin tomorrow. I'll just throw out all the conferences. You tell me where you think there's a play. Talking ACC, A-10, Big 12, Conference USA, and the Metro Atlantic tomorrow. Which floats your boat here in terms of a bet?
I kind of like the A-10. Richmond going off around 5-1 in that league. They are the one seed, and they start 5 seniors, 2 of whom are fifth-year seniors. They play slow. It's execution-based. I think that is pretty good for a tournament setting where they're not reliant on transition. The slowdown isn't going to affect them. They've got all kinds of experience. They lost their finale at George Mason, but they'd already clinched the one seed and didn't really have an at-large to play for. So I'm not too concerned about that performance. I think they've got pretty good value there. And then the Metro Atlantic, I typically am scared of this league. I don't bet it very well, but I love the draw for Fairfield. They're, to me, on the opposite side of the bracket of the three other best teams in the league. Rider, St. Mary's, St. Peter's, and Quinnipiac are all in the top half. And Fairfield's on the bottom. They've got the best backcourt in the league. Goodine is the Syracuse transfer that can go off for 30 points in any game. And they recently got Alexis Yetna eligible, 27-year-old frontcourt player that's been at South Florida and Seton Hall, and he's sort of fortified the interior defense. So I bet them 3-1 in the Metro Atlantic Fairfield, just between having that best backcourt, having a really good draw. I think that sets up well for them to go along with that Richmond somewhere around 5-1 in the A-10.
All right. Plus 475 seeing on the Richmond Spiders in the A-10. How about on Wednesday? These tournaments start: the American, the Big East, the Big 10, Big West, MEAC, Mountain West, Pac-12, SEC, SWAC, and WAC. What do you like there?
All kinds of opportunities there. Yes. I think the American is the most wide open that you can find. Like, I don't love FAU's draw, and they're the highest on the odds board. I would not touch them. I think you'd go down the board and find somebody like North Texas or UAB. I saw 24-1 at one book. I think that's a pretty worthy wager. I don't really trust SMU high up the board either. So if you want to go crazy, I think the American's a good spot for it. But I do like in the Big East, I actually think UConn's a decent bet because I am not optimistic about Kolick returning at full strength for Marquette. So I sort of trust UConn despite laying a big price there. And then, Pac-12. I like USC quite a bit. They just beat Arizona, and they have trended way, way up since Isaiah Collier returned, the potential top five pick there, big-time recruit. They've got a ton of size. Talent is there. I think that's a team that, in a conference where only Arizona is completely, I guess Washington State also locked into the big dance, but there's not these like titans that they have to go through, and they just beat the best team in the league. I think USC has got some decent value there just with how they're playing down the stretch with Collier back in the lineup.
Yeah, USC, when I checked it last night anyway, was 30-1 to win the Pac-12 tournament at DraftKings. By the way, UConn, not prohibitive, right? Not a prohibitive favorite in the Big East tournament, about minus 135. So it's not exactly, a tough thing to lay, obviously, with about a 3 or 4-headed monster in that conference. Jim, appreciate it. What a week it's going to be. By the way, I failed to ask you about the MAC. Anything in the MAC on Thursday off the top of your head?
Ohio. I think the Akron, Toledo have got some flaws at the top of that league, and Ohio's the one that's playing the best down the stretch. So, yeah, Bobcat.
All right. Only thing left after that is the Ivy, which, of course, is a four-team tournament later in the week. Jim, enjoy, man. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Gil.
Jim Root, three-man weaver at 3MW_CBB for all of their plays. What a week it's going to be in college basketball. Still to come, Mike Somich on college hoops as well. We're coming back. Tennis and golf updates on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN Daily Newsletter. In today's newsletter.
Oh boy, it's a lot of college basketball breakdown. Get ready for all the tournaments coming up this week.
Very pumped. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. It really is amazing, like this time of year, how the brain shifts to college basketball, and the NFL will be the only other thing that can sort of poke into that for me. Because tennis, well, that's not true. Because tennis goes to Miami. So
never mind. Tennis.
Yeah, never mind. Just strike whatever I just said. My point was going to be,
besides the sport I bet the most, my mind is really shifted.
My point was going to be that it just really does consume. It does, though, because this will be later. I don't know. It's still second part of the Sunshine Double coming up. Before we get to tennis here, do you have an NBA play of the day?
You know what? I do. I did bet the Suns against the Cavs tonight, but oh boy, has this moved, Gil. This is, I'm going to guess this is going to be the most amount of closing line value that I'm going to get all season. I bet this when it opened up as a pick'em yesterday. I have no idea why it opened up as a pick'em. Cavs on the back end of a back-to-back. They've had all these guys out of their lineup. Donovan Mitchell out. Strus and Dean Wade at least have been upgraded today to questionable. Evan Mobley's going to miss this game tonight. I could not figure out for the life of me. And Devin Booker is coming back tonight. So this game opened up as a pick'em. It is up to 6.5 on Phoenix now. So I don't know if I'd consider laying that big of a spread now that it's gotten to this point. I think if you are looking at some other games tonight in the NBA, you could tie this in for a money line if you're looking at a money line parlay with the Phoenix Suns. This is just like yesterday. This is a tough spot for the Cavs with how many injuries they've got going up against a good team with Phoenix getting healthier here. So I did like that side. The other one I circled, I think I'm just going to attack live tonight with the Bulls. This is a Mavericks in Chicago tonight. This line right now at about 4. Dallas about a 4-point favorite, 233 your total. I think I'm going to be looking at the Chicago side tonight, but just attacking that live.
All right, let me retry what I attempted just moments ago. Will you concede that during March Madness, maybe you won't concede this, because while football free agency will puncture the bubble, and so too will tennis, Does the NBA slough off at all for you? Like, yeah. Can you actually still think about the NBA when March Madness is going on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can still think about it. Does the amount of time that I spend handicapping it and watching it decrease? Yes. But
I don't even know that it exists when March Madness. Right.
I know there are a lot of people like that. I'm glad you're asking, though. I don't think my attention would shift much at all if it were not for. This is the time of year in the NBA regular season where my betting usually decreases a bit anyway. Yeah, okay. it would happen regardless just because of the point we're at in the schedule. I don't want to say that's it's just more picking and choosing the right spots to get in on. Like, there are far less bets, I would say, over the past 2 weeks for me than what I was firing off in January, early February.
All right, makes sense. And next week, by the way, when after,
and of course I get wrapped up in the madness. I mean, it's fun. It's awesome.
Like, that's, I guess, what I'm driving. It's such a cultural force, right? You know, it's like my cousin's daughter listens to the podcast to fill out her brackets, right? And Will Hill and Todd Wishnev did her quite the solid last year. We will have a Beating the Book Megapod college basketball March Madness podcast after Selection Sunday. So talk about probably Monday, Tuesday. I'm going to guess Tuesday morning of next week is probably when we'll lock it in. Although, don't hold me to that. Maybe we'll do it Monday. And we're trying to get a third special guest on the show, too. To make it wonderful.
Okay. Like it. Opportunity.
He mentioned he wanted to come on, so we'll see if he comes on. I don't know who it is until we know it's
okay. Yeah.
You know who it is, right? Okay.
No idea.
Yes, you do. Because you were the one who had the correspondence with him. Anyway, Kelly and I will have this fight off air. we often forget that we're on air. Excuse us. We're bickering. All right, tennis. It has been quite a tournament at Indian Wells. All of these picks are at VSiN.com/picks, as is all the picks in every sport from every VSiN host and every VSiN guest. For subscribers, VSiN.com/picks. I put out my tennis ones. And since we're here in the United States, it's easy to do them the night before, and then the matches are the next day. Not like when it's overseas, when we sort of, the timing doesn't work out well on the show, and sometimes I can't mention them on the show. Here I can. Friday was a sweep. Friday included a plus 180 dog on Katie Valenets again. She beat Ann Jabeur. It included a plus 189 dog on Yulia Putintseva. On Friday, she beat Ekaterina Alexandrova. Also, Arthur Fils got it done. So that was a huge day on Friday. We did give back a unit plus over the weekend. Valenets. The Valenets train finally ended last night. She lost in three to Caroline Wozniacki. So the Valenets train, remember, we hit a plus 235 on Valenets in the first round when she beat Mira Andreeva. So it's been a great tournament. It's been a great year. Up in match play over 17 units on the tennis season. It's still March. I mean, it has been a great run thus far. And today, we are in the back half of the round of 32. So after today, we're in round four, basically the round of 16, in other words, on both the men's and the ladies' side on what is tennis's de facto fifth major at Indian Wells. Just a fabulous tournament where they're all caught up to play now. My one play today is Dion Parry. Dion Parry, which, by the way, again, Kelly spells as Diane Perry.
Oh, Diane Perry. That's straight out of Milwaukee.
But she's French, so we call her Dion Parry.
Oh, not from Milwaukee. Got it.
Yeah. Let me just make sure as I give the, because I gave it out last night, let me make sure that you can get a as good a line, if not better. And the answer is no, you can't. It's plus 117 now against Anna Blinkova. I would play it at plus 117. I would not let it get any lower. Like, don't play it at
plus 110.
Plus 110. Yeah, plus 110. That's the lowest. Don't play it any. But as long as she's the dog here, this is a great price here on Dion Parry. Even at plus 117, again, for VSiN subscribers, got her at plus 130 last night. I want to see even plus 131, was it last night? Against Anna Blinkova. Blinkova famously this year beat Elena Rybakina at the Australian Open in a third set tiebreaker that, if I'm not mistaken, was 22-20. That's how long that went. It was just an epic match. That was her big moment of the year. But I'll take Parry, whose numbers are better than Blinkova's in terms of raw data here on hard court. So that's the play today as the dog. That's the only play, though. There's it's very chalky McChuckerson on the men's side. I'm sure there'll be one upset in the mix, but I couldn't really make a convincing argument to myself to figure out which of the three that I had to narrow down to. So I steered clear. So just the one on the women's side. As far as our futures are concerned, though.
Yeah, I was going to say Naomi Osaka.
So here's the deal. So we had three. One was Rafa Nadal to win the tournament.
Yeah.
Thank you to Rafa that he pulled out before the tournament even started. So that money is a wash.
But yeah, I meant to bring that up with you.
Yeah.
Because he was like there too, oh, yeah. Right? Well, I mean, remember, he was here.
He was there. Then he came to the exhibition here against Carlitos last Sunday, 8 days ago.
Oh, he was at Indian Wells before that?
He was playing golf and stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Came here, looked fine, went back there and said he couldn't go.
Yeah, man. Like, that is, considering he was all, like, there and here, like, the fact that he didn't even try to go.
I mean, he's injured and he's older.
I mean, well, yeah, like, let me put this the right way. As a better, lucky he didn't try to go, right?
Correct.
If you're a Nadal fan, right. Probably a little scary if he didn't even try to go.
If he steps on the court, then we lose our money, right? But he doesn't. So that goes by the wayside. So the other two were on the ladies' side. One, Iga Świątek to win it at plus 275. Iga's been fine through her first two matches, so she has four left. Again, headed to the round of 16, she avenged her Australian Open loss to Linda Noskova yesterday. She was down 4-2 in the first set, and then Iga went ahead and reeled off 10 straight games.
All right,
so she's still minus money, minus 105. Oh, she's into minus money, I should say, at minus 105 now. Sabalenka, Coco. The only others in single digits at 3-1 and plus 450. So Iga's moving along. The other one was Naomi Osaka to win her quarter, Q3. Now, got her at 10-1. By the way, Osaka's the fourth shot on the board.
Yeah, that was the quarter. You're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So you only got what? The one more match to go,
no,
right?
Two more. Two more or three more? Three more, I think, because she got to win today. Yeah, three more. She's won two. Remember, Iga had a bye. So, yeah, Osaka has to win five to get to the to win her quarter.
Gotcha, okay.
She's won two. But she does take on Elise Mertens today. She's a minus 145 favorite. That's going to be a tough match. Mertens has good numbers, but you'll get to see. Like, Mertens is a great barometer because she's a good player, but she's not a great player. And so she's a very good player, but not a great player. Osaka, who's won four slams and has won them all on hard courts, if she gets by this one, then it will only be two matches left in a quarter, which most notably, you know, was the one where Elena Rybakina was. Oh, excuse me, that's the Coco. Pardon me, it's the Coco Golf quarter. Pardon me. The Elena Rybakina withdrawal is great for Iga, as was Yelena Ostapenko being knocked out. So Iga's path, I should have mentioned with Iga, also has gotten pretty clean to the finals. Like, it would take a major upset for her not to get to the finals. But Osaka plugging along in Coco's quarter, and I think Coco's a bit diminished. So she got a good draw, and so 10-1 still looking good for Naomi. College Hoops on the other side with Mike Somich. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Not a registered VSiN.com user yet? Create a free account today and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do through NCAA Championship Week leading up to Selection Sunday. Sign up today at VSiN.com/Champ Week and get instant VSiN Pro access, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our all-new NCAA Tournament Betting Primer. Don't miss out on this VSiN Pro free preview to help you bet the tournament smarter. Create a free account now. That's at VSiN.com/Champ Week and get full VSiN Pro access from now through March 7th. That's Selection Sunday, March 17th. That's VSIN.com/Champ Week. With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite. All at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D. Lovely downtown Las Vegas. What a week it is for college basketball. We want to talk college hoops with him. We'll talk some hockey. We'll talk some horses. Mike Somich, everybody, co-host of The Handle, ready to deliver some Somo bombs on us. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well, man. It's a monster week. I love conference tournament week, one of my favorite weeks of the full year. And then, yeah, we've got a massive horse racing tournament in Las Vegas this weekend. So the best horse players in the world all be headed to Las Vegas as well. But we still got hockey, too. I know you guys were talking about the NBA, how that kind of falls off. I agree with you. It's hard to be betting the NBA every day when you've got everything else going on. But you got to keep focusing on the ice. There's value on the ice every single night with some plus money prices. So we'll get a couple of those as well.
Focus on the ice, Kelly.
And I just learned the Golden Knights weren't very good. So that's what my focus is at. They're meh
They made some moves at the trade deadline. They picked up Hanifin. They picked up Hurdle, who's still got 6 years on his contract left, and Anthony Mantha, who I think is a sneaky good pickup. So I think you're going to see a better Golden Knights team down the stretch here.
Okay. All right. We'll get to hockey. We'll get to horses. But let's start with college hoops, because that is the order of the day. And let us begin with today's games, specifically the Sun Belt Championship, Arkansas State and JMU, James Madison. James Madison with the gaudy record, 29-3. And we were just talking off air, and I'm like, if they lose, are they going to make the tournament? And you said,
I don't think so. I think they're on the outside looking in. I think they need this game. And I think if you go into this game and you're James Madison, you have to assume you need this game. You don't want to leave it up to the committee to put you in. It's one of the reasons I like James Madison tonight. I'm going to lay the 5.5 with them. Another main reason, and one of the things that I love looking for when we get into conference tournaments, we get into the NCAA dance, is variance from home and road 3-point shooting percentage. And Arkansas State, one of the biggest variances in the country. They're 112th overall in 3-pointers. So you think, okay, not bad. Well, they're 11th in the nation at home. They're 294th in the nation on the road and at neutral sites.
Wait a minute.
So massive gap there from the home and road shooting percentages here from Arkansas State tonight.
Okay, wait a minute. So we've all heard about, like, you know, if you get in particularly when it gets to March Madness, but we all heard about when you get to tournaments on neutrals, the sight lines are such where teams have trouble shooting or whatever. What do you make of that?
I think it's true. When you're in your home gym, and especially some of these smaller teams too that practice in the same gym that they play their home games in, it makes a huge difference if you're shooting there day in and day out. I think that's what you're seeing from this Arkansas State team. When they're shooting in their home gym, they're comfortable. They understand the sight lines. They know how to shoot. When they're on the road, all of that changes, and it makes it more difficult for these teams to be able to shoot threes. And so, you know, there's certain teams, Creighton, Kansas, who both very good at home, not so good on the road when they're shooting threes. Those are teams I'm looking to fade when we get into these tournaments.
All right. So you're taking James Madison here. You're laying the points. Is that what I heard?
I'll lay the 5.5 with James Madison tonight. They need the game, and Arkansas State can't shoot threes at neutral site. So I like the Dukes minus the 5.5. They also beat Arkansas State by 4 in the regular season, but they were up double digits until the two minute mark left in the second half. And there was a late run from Arkansas State that got that game close. I don't think you see that same late run tonight, since that was at Arkansas State.
Okay. You also do stuff for the website, VSiN.com, multiple sports. You obviously chime in on college basketball as well. And you had a particular focus on the West Coast Conference, which has a couple semis today. What do you think about these games?
Yeah, we wrote the preview for the WCC. This is an interesting conference because you've got St. Mary's, you've got Gonzaga. Both seem to be in the big dance if they lose, especially if they face each other in the finals. This is over in Vegas, actually, at the Orleans Arena. So if you're in Vegas, you want to check this out. Two great games tonight. St. Mary's taking on Santa Clara. If anything, I made this game 11. It's 10.5 right now, so not a ton of edge on it. I would lay it with St. Mary's if I had to go one way or the other. Other semifinal tonight, San Francisco and Gonzaga. San Francisco catching 8.5. Before the write-up, I picked Gonzaga because I expect Gonzaga to win, but there's not a lot of value on them. They were minus 105 before the tournament started. They're minus 140 now. San Francisco, who was second in the conference in points scored, second in the conference in defense, and the best free throw shooting team in the conference, was 12-1 pre-tournament. But one of the reasons I didn't recommend playing them, a lot of these conference tournaments, if you're not trying to extract value by hedging in subpoint in later rounds, it's better to play a money line parlay. So if you want San Francisco, even now sitting at 10-1, you're getting plus 295 tonight. So if you bet $100, you get 395 back. If you just manufactured the parlay and bet them on the money line against St. Mary's again next round, you're going to get much better than 10-1 as well. So in these conference tournaments, if it chalks out and you're taking a dog, it's almost better to just manufacture the parlay through the rounds versus just simply betting that team to win the conference tournament before the first game tips.
Yeah, USF Dons. I don't know if you know this, Kelly. National champions in the 1950s with Bill Russell. Sits in the middle of San Francisco. This is a sleeping giant right in the middle of San Francisco. And I always wondered, like, why can't they be a powerhouse again? It's just not apparently in the cards with whatever the donors and the alumni are at that university.
Hey, they're fun to chase with late at night, you know, when you've lost money earlier in the day.
Yeah. By the way, Houston Mallette of Pepperdine in the portal. Have at him. Just want to point that out, ladies and gentlemen. It's a little personal note. He will be a key cog in, or a great cog to have in a team that will contend for some greatness next year. Okay. You also, well, let's move past the West Coast Conference. Let's talk about some stuff that is starting, conference tournaments that are starting, obviously, later this week. A whole bunch of tournaments start tomorrow and then even more on Wednesday. Let's pick one. Let's go Big East first. What are your thoughts there in terms of a play in the conference tournament?
Well, yeah, one of the things you have to look at with these conference tournaments is understanding the bracket and kind of how it plays out. A great source for that's actually Wikipedia. So they have every single game and who will play who moving forward in these conference tournaments. So check that out if you want to look at it. When I go through this conference, like UConn sitting there at a very short price, I believe they're minus 145 right now to win the conference tournament. I've got no interest in laying UConn at that short of a number. So I wanted to look down the board a little bit more. And for me, the team that jumped out was Marquette. And a lot of this was how this plays out for them. So they're going to have a second round matchup. If they win that, they're going to go to the third round game, the semifinal, and they're going to take on Creighton, who again is a team I mentioned earlier, one that I'm looking to fade on neutral sites and on road courts. So I like the matchup there in the semis for Marquette taking on Creighton. And then you've got UConn in the finals there. You're getting 5-1 right now on Marquette. I think that's a pretty fair price. You should see them as a basically a pick 'em in the semis and then get a little bit of value in the finals. You may be able to manufacture the parlay more than this if it is UConn who ends up in the finals, but I don't think it's a guarantee that we're going to see UConn there. So if I'm taking anyone, I like the road that Marquette has to be able to try and win this tournament.
All right, Big East tournament starts on Wednesday. UConn is minus 135, Creighton plus 425. Just looking at current prices, Marquette 5-1, St. John's 8-1. Everybody else double digits. What about the Big 12, which starts tomorrow?
A Big 12, another interesting one. Again, I'm looking to fade Kansas. So how can I go through the Kansas path to be able to try and make some money? And Kansas would project to play, I believe it's Baylor here in the second round. Let me pull it up real quick. It would be Baylor. Yeah, Baylor in the third round. So Kansas would head into Baylor. So Baylor gets a relatively easy game against Kansas. Then they would take on Iowa State in the semis. I think that's a good route again for Baylor. On the other side, you've got Houston, you've got Texas Tech. I don't want to play Houston. They're a short price. I think there's a shot that Houston goes down before the finals again. And if that's the case, I want to look at the winner of the other semifinal game because that's how I think you're able to extract some value from these conference tournaments. So I'm looking at Baylor. If I wanted to take a long shot here, I don't hate the idea of Texas. They're the 7 seed. They get Kansas State in the opening game. They would play Iowa State in that semifinal and then take on Baylor. So again, it's the opposite side of the bracket from Houston that I'm looking for prices who I think can get there and hope that Houston gets knocked off. If they don't, I have an opportunity to be able to buy back some of that bet if it's Houston in the finals.
Yeah, right now at DraftKings Houston, no surprise there, minus 135 to win the Big 12 tournament. They're the favorite. Iowa State plus 280, Baylor 8-1, Kansas, the aforementioned Jayhawks, 12-1, and then BYU 15-1, Texas Tech 20-1, Texas 30-1, on and on. Let me ask you this just real quick before we go to break, and we'll save the SEC for the other side. If you project towards the NCAA tournament, and obviously Houston is the best team in the conference. No arguments there from anyone, I would assume. But if I said, okay, what's the other team that you could see in from the Big 12 making the best, obviously brackets unseen, the deepest run, your first thought is?
Oh, man.
There's a correct answer here.
To me, it's between BYU and Baylor.
BYU I think the is the correct answer. That's correct.
That could make a run in the tournament. So, yeah, the BYU and Baylor, the other two, I think could go deep.
Okay. I don't usually grade the guest answers, but, you know, every once in a while we do.
Glad I passed.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk SEC because Mike got some thoughts on the SEC tournament as well. Boy, this is such a great week. SEC tournament coming up. Mike's got thoughts there. We will talk. He's got a couple hockey plays and a horse racing handicapping challenge or contest is always front of his mind. I think Chris Velika is involved in this as well. We'll talk that on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game. Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can bet just $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. We started the show today by talking about Russell Wilson going to the Steelers, obviously Baker Mayfield re-signing with the Bucks, Mac Jones getting traded to the Jaguars, and it's big week of free agency. And as we're doing the show, right behind your head, there's like red breaking news. Michael Pittman, 3-year deal with the Colts.
Oh, wow.
I believe is what I just saw come across. And then this baseball note, my goodness. This is from the this is per Brian Hawk, who says Garrett Cole is having an MRI on his pitching elbow.
I did just see that one.
Oh boy. Yeah. Oh boy. For baseball fans, for Yankees fans, let's hope that's negative. But my goodness. So anyway, a whole bunch of news coming from NFL and beyond. Mike Somich, kind enough to join us once again. The Twitter handle for Mike is SOMOBOMB18. SOMOBOMB18. Is that correct, Mike? Did I get that right?
You nailed it.
Nailed it. SOMOBOMB. There he is. I know if I said it enough.
You'd eventually get the graphic.
I'd eventually get it to happen. Thanks, guys, back there. All right, SEC, what are your thoughts on the Southeastern Conference tournament?
Oh, this is where I've got the most money wrapped up. So I did bet a team in the SEC to win the tournament. I also bet them to win the NCAA tournament at 70-1. I'm going to go to the Florida Gators here.
Whoa.
I feel like they're one of those teams that are just not being talked about enough. And when you look at their regular season performance, they've beaten Alabama. They've beaten Kentucky. Tennessee was the one bugaboo, but that was on the road. They knocked off, I believe they lost in a close game to South Carolina, and they knocked off somebody else too. And they beat... who is it? Auburn. They beat Auburn as well. So they've beaten a lot of the big dogs here in the SEC, led by two guards, Walter Clayton Jr. and Zion Pullen, who both don't turn the ball over. They're a junior. They're a senior. They both shoot over 35% from three. And the path they have in the SEC tournament is, again, what I'm looking for. I want to fade both Alabama and Kentucky when it comes to the big dance, because they don't play a ton of defense and they're very 3-point based offenses. So they need to outscore you to win. Florida would draw both of them. They would get one and then the other to go to the finals, which hopefully isn't Tennessee, but maybe it is. We'll see what happens there. But a 20-1, I can monetize this ticket if we end up in the finals against Tennessee. So I took Florida 20-1 to win the SEC tournament. And right now they're sitting on the board at 70-1 to win the NCAA dance. I got a piece of them there too.
Wow. Okay. So we've had on the show today, Jim Root had USC at 30-1 to win the Pac-12. By the way, Michael Pittman Jr., 3 years, $70 million. This just did. So we had Jim Root say USC 30-1 in the Pac-12 tournament, and then the SOMOBOMB of 20-1 here on Florida to win the SEC tournament. What did I say? Pac-12 with USC, pardon me. SEC tournament 20-1 on Florida, and then 70-1 to win the big dance. And it's funny, when you were going through your Florida dissertation, I made a mental note because you brought up Kentucky. Kentucky beats Tennessee, and immediately, I was curious if you had this reaction, immediately, like the Kentucky contingent, right? Not just Kentucky fans, but those who have Kentucky bets, those who have advocated Kentucky, watch out for Kentucky, they're playing well. They immediately toggle to, oh, look what happens when they play some defense. You're not buying into it, I guess is what I'm saying.
No, I'm not buying into it. To me, look, it's hard to do it six times in a row. And that, for me, is the biggest issue with Bama and Kentucky. Both of them fall in that same bucket to me, where they're so reliant on the 3-point shot that if they are cold, they aren't going to be able to get the stops on the other end to be able to then set it up so they can play a close game. They were fortunate Tennessee didn't shoot the ball early in that game, or else they would have been behind by double digits. And then they were able to hold on. But you look at some of these games, I mean, they give up 100 to Tennessee on the road. You can't be giving up 100 and be able to expect to win six in a row. Eventually you're going to shoot poorly. And when we're in a conference tournament, it's the exact same thing. Look, I don't want teams that are reliant on the three and don't play any defense. That is a bad recipe when you're in a one and done situation.
Okay, let's transition to hockey. You have a couple plays in the NHL. You always got to focus on the ice, Mike. You said it yourself.
Yeah, you got to look at the ice, man. I love playing plus money prices on the ice. We've got two tonight. We're going to look at the New York Islanders tonight. They're taking on the Los Angeles Kings. The Islanders, I would agree with this price if we were looking at just a season long number, with the Islanders being a plus 125 dog. But when you're looking at just the last five or six games here, the Islanders are playing a lot better hockey than the Kings are. They won last night with their backup goalie against the Ducks 6-1. They saved Sorokin for tonight, who has been playing phenomenal over the last 2 months. His game's really improved. Got a 1.67 goals against so far this month. This is an Islanders team that needs every point they can get to make the playoffs. Since the Kings team is reeling a little bit. They're 2-3 in their last five. They haven't been playing their best hockey. So I'll take the plus money price here with the Islanders on the ice. And then the other one for me, you know, I'm going to look at a plus 1.5 price here. A lot of times I'm going to lay it with some of these teams in the NHL. And this was a spot where I thought it was just a good one. You've got a couple games that you could look at if you did want to lay it tonight. One of them, the Bruins taking on St. Louis there. But I went to a bigger plus money price here. I'm going to go with the Rangers tonight, laying the 1.5 against the Devils. The Devils have been a team that have just underperformed all year. They fired their coach 4 games ago. You haven't seen the bump that you were expecting. It's a team that was very good last year with the Devils, not very good this year. And it's an Island or Rangers team that's playing their best hockey of the season right now. You can get a big plus money price on this as well. That to me was one of the big differentiators here. When I see these short favorites that you can then lay the 1.5 and get a monster number with, those are some of the prices I'm looking for, because you do have a lot of variance at the end of hockey games as well. Goalies are being pulled early and earlier. So we're going to lay the 1.5 tonight with the Rangers at home at a big plus money number.
All right, so Isles at plus money, Rangers laying the 1.5 at plus money. And by the way, it's been a plus money cavalcade, not only the two plus 180 and plus 189 in tennis on Friday, but Brian Ortega with all of his Oscar picks. What a day for Ortega.
Yeah, he did well. Hey, Mike, I got a quick question. When you're betting totals in hockey, if you're betting overs, do you ever kind of ladder bet those over? If it just feels like I pull up the box scores day after games, and I see so many that are 7-3 and, you know, it's scores like that these days.
I generally bet overs early in the season, and I'm more of an under better when we get later into the season. What you see when these games matter more is more intense hockey, especially early in games. I love betting first period unders, so you can get stats around teams, home, road, splits with the first period under ROI, and so I'll rely heavily on some of those. The Penguins right now number one on the road in ROI, number one at home with first period under ROI, so I'm playing a lot of Penguins unders. Right now the Canes are very good under team in the first period. The Jets are very good under team in the first period, and you're almost always getting plus money on those as well, which to me is a big key. And when you go back and you look at goals scored by period over the last 5 years, the first period by far the least number of goals scored, and in tie hockey games you get the least number of goals scored. So you have that feeling out period, especially now that we're getting into the playoff race. So I'm looking at a lot of first period unders, not as into the overs right now at this point of the season. Kelly,
Mike Somich, co-host of The Handle, joining us. You are flying into Vegas, sir, on Wednesday for the National Horse Players Championship. How much money is possible here to be won? And how do you get into this? Can you get into this?
So you can't buy into it, which is one of the things I love about this. You have to qualify into it. So you either have to win a tournament online where they give away a couple seats every week, or you have to go to a live tournament like the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge or the Keeneland Grade 1 Gamble, and you have to finish in the top 5, 10, 15, depending on however many seats there are in those live bankroll tournaments to be able to qualify. I was fortunate enough to finish third in the Grade 1 Gamble this year, took home about $70,000 in seats and prizes, and one of those was a seat to NHC this year. This will be my fifth year playing it, so excited to get out there. It's the energy in the room is very, very unique. You don't often get 600 horse players who are all in the same room and then forced to bet the same races. So these mandatory races where everyone has a horse, the whole room is going nuts. You got a lot of people cheering, especially if it's a long shot to try and get that home. And a lot of money on the line. Over $750,000 to the winner. Everyone in the top 10% gets at least $10,000. So it's a big bucks that you can win this weekend there in Las Vegas.
Flatter used to invite me over there to watch it. It is, the energy is palpable in the room.
Oh, I bet.
Let me just ask you this, Mike, and this is just a demographic question. Are you like the youngest dude there?
I'm definitely, I will say I'm the 5% youngest there. I'm in the 95th percentile of age when you're looking at the younger side of it. It is definitely an older room. And that's part of the problem with horse racing right now, having a very hard time attracting younger fans. Even with sports betting becoming more popular, the takeout in racing is bigger than the vig in sports betting. Yeah. And people, the barrier to entry to horse racing is much bigger as well. Data is not free, and you really have to grow up around the data to be able to understand and interpret it properly. So horse racing is facing a couple challenges right now.
Last question on this. Do you, and this is, you know, again, it's a horse racing question. Do you look around the room and say to yourself, oh, that dude's good, I got to beat that guy. Like, oh, there's Felica, I got to keep my eye on him, he's really good. Or are you just in your, you know, blinders on phase where you don't really care about that kind of thing?
I'm blinders on until the third day. And then I care about who's around me. And there's people that you know and people that you learn. There's rankings for the last 5 years for this year. So you understand who the dangerous players are. And you also understand by playing against them how they select horses. And so I was fortunate enough to get to the final table a couple years back. I ended up finishing seventh out of about 580 people, something like that. And I knew three people at the final table. So I understood who they were going to play and then was able to play off of that to make sure I wasn't on the same horse.
All right, Mike comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Mike, we appreciate that. A couple Samo bombs in hockey and a real big Samo bomb in the SEC tournament. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Good luck this week. Good luck in the tournaments.
Hope to see you here. Mike Somich entering the National Horse Players Championship. Good luck to him. Good luck to Felica.
Might be a hype man out there for those guys.
Yeah, you should absolutely do that. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.